There's a bright golden haze on the meadow.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow.
The corn is as high as an elephant's eye.
And it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Bing Crosby Show and the Railroad Hour with Gordon McRae. This one was a tough one for me. I was creating it, and we realized we were missing a week of the Bing Crosby Show from 1945. So I thought I would skip that week and just bring you the next week. Well, in trying to do that, I created the file and was all ready to go, all ready to do the intro. And then I thought to myself, you know, sometimes all of my files are high-definition, beautiful files, but they're not all the shows. And so I thought sometimes the old-time radio researchers have a, because their copies are from lower quality versions of the show, but they have a different set, and sometimes they have an episode I don't have. So I checked, and it did exist there. So we are going to bring in the 1945 episode for this week with Artie Shaw and his band, which is pretty cool. But it's not going to be in our usual high quality, and you'll be able to tell the difference, but it's still definitely listenable. So I thought, let's go ahead and keep that. So I had to edit out the old one, edit in the new one, just a bummer. Anyway, but now we have all the shows ready for you. So let me tell you what you're going to get tonight. To begin with, we get Bing Crosby from 1950, from March 15th, to be exact. And he's going to have with him his sons. Now, he's not going to have all four sons. He's going to have his two middle sons, the twins, Dennis and Philip. Now, Dennis and Philip don't have the best voices. They're not bad singers. It's just Lindsay, his youngest son from his first marriage, has this incredible voice. And that's his youngest son, like I say. And then his eldest son from his first marriage is Gary Crosby. And Gary had the biggest career of any of his sons, and had the voice that was the closest to Bing's voice. And we featured him quite a lot. I think we featured him just a couple weeks ago. Anyway, the twins, though, are the most entertaining, probably, of any of his sons. Very fun kids to have on the show, so I think you'll like this. So anyway, it's going to start off with Copper Canyon with the Rhythm Ayers. And then Bing and the Rhythm Ayers sing Do Chesterfield Jingle. And then they do Sunshine Cake. Then he'll bring on his sons and have some comedy dialogue with them. Then he will do a duet with Philip Crosby on the song Thanks. Then Dennis will do his own song, The Cry of the Wild Goose. Then Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo with Dennis and Philip together singing Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo, which should be fun, which of course is a Disney song. And then we have Marta with just Bing and Perry Bodkin on guitar. And it's Marta, Rambling Rose of the Wildwood. And then after that, we have A Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes by Bing, which, again, is a Disney song. So it's kind of cool that he has his sons on Disney night. So I hope you're going to enjoy that program. And then after that, we jump back 5 years. And we get that episode that doesn't have the best sound quality with Artie Shaw from March 15th, 1945. We're going to start off with McNamara's Band, then I Didn't Know About You, which by Eugenie Baird is going to sing that. I Was Doing All Right, that's a Gershwin song that Artie Shaw and his Gramercy 5 will perform. You Belong to My Heart with Bing. And then I'm Beginning to See the Light with the Charioteers. And then You Took Advantage of Me, which looks like it's a Rodgers and Hammerstein song, minus Hammerstein. So I guess it's just Rodgers by Artie Shaw and the Gramercy 5. Give us that. And then Beautiful Love by Bing. Then a medley from Double or Nothing. Smarty, You Know It All. All You Want to Do Is Dance. And then we close out the show with The Moon Got in My Eyes. So it should be an entertaining evening. And then after that, we have a Railroad Hour with Gordon McRae. So I hope you're going to enjoy all those shows. And we'll see you guys next time.
Well, I'm a little nervous tonight.
Someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, produced and transcribed in San Francisco, with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judd Collins were the mayors, and Bing's guests, Dennis Crosby and Philip Crosby.
Oh, the twins. Some guests, huh?
Well, I think it's very nice on our March 15th broadcast that you should have two little dependents with you, don't you?
There's more, you know.
Yes, I know. I know. Bing, you've had your brother Bob on the show a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
Your niece, Kathy Crosby.
Yeah, very good.
Gary, your oldest boy.
Mm-hmm.
And now the twins. What are you going to do for guests when you run out of Crosbys?
That is impossible.
Woods are full of them.
Scratching the surface. Ken, the Crosbys come in flocks and swarms like locusts, the Japanese beetle, grasshoppers, the tsetse fly, or the saber-toothed titmouse. They just abound.
The saber-toothed
titmouse. Oh, very lethal animal.
There's a plague of Crosbys.
We are definitely a blight. Life on the American scene. And sad part is, Ken, that up to now, we have baffled science.
Nobody's come up with the Crosby cure.
Huh? Nope. Can't make it. Well, can get it.
I'm sure some scientist will think of something.
Carp, in saying that, I'm positive that you've brought a message of hope to scores of long-suffering humans.
Say, by the way, Bing, I want to ask you about your brother Everett.
Science gave up on him.
No, I didn't mean it. What I meant was, how come you've never had your brother Everett as a guest on the show?
Saving him for television.
Oh, is Everett visual?
Oh, yeah, he's a sight. Oh. Ken, it's time now for the opening number, which happens to be Copper Canyon, written by Livingston and Evans. This is from the Paramount picture, Copper Canyon. And if the Rhythmers and John Scott are ready, I guess I'm all set to head up for the Canyon Moon Show. When I'm up to my neck, being down in the mouth, there's a place I can play. So to lose my hankering, I pull my anchor in and head that away. Dee la dee lo, hear the fiddle and bow, then swing your cares away. Down in Copper Canyon, people are mighty gay. Look at her, look at him, look at Sally and Slim. Why, they're so glad they came. And in Copper Canyon, I'm sure I'm feeling the same. I'm gonna dance with a girly, romance with a girly, the one in the prettiest gown. Have a wing-ding, have a time, it's that kind of town. Dee-la-dee-lo, keep a tap on your toe and give a yip-yahoo. 'Cause in Copper Canyon, there ain't nothing else to do.
Gonna dance with the fellas, romance with the fellas, whirl in a prettiest guy.
Doodle, have a wing-ding, have a time, it's that kind of time.
A-dee-da-la-dee-da-loo, keep a-tapping your toe and give a yip-yahoo. 'Cause in Copper Canyon, there ain't nothing else to do but have a hoedown, let the cider go down, hoop and holler, never gonna slow down.
Gals in gingham, what you gonna bring 'em? Bring 'em, gingham, if you wanna swing 'em.
Down in Copper Canyon, there ain't nothing else, don't want nothing else, ain't got nothing else to do. Down in Copper Canyon. Friends, we want to explain how every one of you can judge for yourself which cigarette is milder. Now, all you have to do is make the same test that all tobacco farmers make to judge which of their tobaccos is mild. Yes, be your own cigarette expert. It's as simple as ABC.
A, buy a pack of Chesterfields and open the top all the way. B, smell the pleasantly mild aroma that comes from that Chesterfield pack. C, compare that milder Chesterfield aroma with what you get from any other brand.
As soon as you do, you'll find that Chesterfields do have a milder aroma. And then when you light up, you'll find that Chesterfields smoke milder.
That's because tobaccos that smell milder smoke milder. You see, that milder Chesterfield aroma comes from the right combination of the world's best tobaccos. No other cigarette has it, only Chesterfield. What goes into a cigarette is what you get out of it. And into every Chesterfield, we put mild, ripe, properly aged tobaccos.
So out of every Chesterfield, you get a cooler, better-tasting smoke, a much milder smoke.
So be your own cigarette expert.
Yes, friends, make this test yourself. Buy Chesterfields today and enjoy more smoking pleasure than any other cigarette can give you. Always buy Chesterfields.
Chesterfields satisfy women and men. Chesterfields over and over again. Milder, much milder, all smokers agree. Always buy Chesterfields ABC.
Paramount Studios, where I've been stealing money for about 19 years, is planning a big party down at Front Royal, Virginia, on April 1st. Seems they're going to have a big premiere of a new picture titled Riding High, which I am somewhat involved. Here's Sunshine Cake, one of the bright tunes from Riding High.
We're going to bake a sunshine cake. It's everything nice. It's sugar and spice. It's a cinch.
We'd ought to bake us a sunshine cake. It does more good than a big thick steak.
Well, start.
Start with a tablespoon of trouble.
Then
add
a smile and let it bubble up.
We ought to bake a sunshine cake. It really isn't so hard to make. Fresh tears,
a pound or two of pleasure.
Kind words,
you needn't use a measure cup. Any questions, ladies? Then we proceed. Well, it's not from a recipe book, and you don't have to be a good cook.
Or run to the oven and look.
With such a simple dish,
all you do is wish.
So why not bake a sunshine cake?
Of course it may keep your dreams awake.
But friends say there's nothing like the flavor.
Don't wait to do your friends a favor. And for goodness sake,
well, what are we waiting for?
Let's bake a sunshine cake.
It's got vitamins A,
vitamins B,
vitamins L-O-V-E.
If you're fat, it's for that.
If you're thin, pack it in.
What's wrong if you get a double grin? We'd ought to bake a sunshine cake.
Of course it may keep your dreams away.
Of course friends say there's nothing like the flavor.
Friends say there's nothing like the flavor.
Don't
for goodness sake
do your friends a favor. Don't for goodness sake do your friends a favor.
And for goodness sake,
what are we waiting for?
Let's bake a sunshine cake.
Well, sir, looks like it's old family night here once again. For as announced earlier, we got double trouble with us this evening. Sort of fill the guest spot. These two buckaroos have been kicking around the Crosby Corral ever since the stork held a 1 cent sale at our diggin' some 14 years ago. Here now are two well-scrubbed but pretty uncomfortable young men. Dennis and Philip Crosby.
Thanks, Dad.
Thanks.
Well, sir, I must say, I've got to tell you this. Hurts me, but I've got to tell you that you look real flashy tonight. Very debonair.
We owe it all to soap and water.
Congratulations. I'm glad the four of you finally got together.
He used the soap, and I used the water.
And now, wait, what's this? As far as a cursory scrutiny indicates, you're very sharp, though. You're really dressed to the teeth. Incidentally, did you brush them?
You ought to know. You fell on toothbrushes, and they were wet.
I also know it's very easy to wet a toothbrush without brushing your teeth.
True, but it sure fools the average toothbrush feeler.
I gotta tell you something, son. You ain't ever gonna fool me, because from now on, I'm gonna mark X's on your teeth with black crayon.
Very sporty. Two-tone teeth.
Now, if we could only get black and white shoes to match.
Black and white shoes? That'd make it real flashy. I'll tell you what I'll do for you. I may pull off my Hickok and give each of you a little belt in the back.
Now, Dad, remember what happened the last time you got mad at us and pulled off your belt in a hurry?
Never mind. That was no laughing matter.
It sure got a laugh out of us.
Just settle down. Now, just take it deep. May I ask you something, Dennis? Why aren't your shoes shined there?
No time. Phil used the brush for half an hour.
I found that shoe polish is just about the best thing in the world to keep your hair down.
He's a real dude, isn't he, Dad?
Anybody with hair is a dude, I think.
None of that dude stuff for me.
No, why?
I'm a muscle man.
Oh, a muscle man. Get this guy. Yeah, you're a regular Samson. With Delilah's figure.
If you ask me, that's a pretty good arrangement.
Here now. Who asked you? Nimbly avoiding any further discussion along this line, tell me, what have you kids been doing lately outside of schoolwork and playing basketball?
Well, we've been pretty busy lately.
We're working on a big deal.
Yeah? What big deal is this?
We're organizing a Gary Crosby fan club.
Well, Gary Crosby fan club. Well, I think that's nice. That's very brotherly.
Would you like to join?
Would
you like to join?
Well, yes, I guess I would.
Thank you. That'll be $25.
Here's your receipt.
Wait a minute. Time here. $25 to join Gary's fan club? That's a pretty big bite, boys. How many members you got?
So far, only Gary.
Oh, he went for it, huh?
Well, you know, Dad, he's a joiner.
Well, I tell you, tell me this. Now, let's say I pop for $25. What do I get?
You get a certificate, a celluloid button, and a lock of Gary's hair.
That's nice. That's a very personal touch.
You ought to see the keen buttons we got for Gary's fan club, Dad.
Yeah, we got a real bargain on them. They're surplus.
On the buttons? What do you mean, surplus?
All we had to do was print Gary's name on them. They turned out fine.
Yeah? What'd they say?
Gary Dewey for president.
You know he might make it. They haven't come up with anybody else so far. But getting back to that $25 fee now, I'd like to go into just a little accounting. Just let's have an audit. How much do these buttons cost you fellas?
3 cents apiece. And the certificates cost us about 7 cents.
All right, that's 10 cents. Now, what becomes of the other $24.90?
That's to cover the cost of mailing.
Well, he's stealing a lot of money.
All right, I'll join the fan club, but because of the fact that you won't have to mail the stuff to me, you see, we live in the same place, I wouldn't be at all surprised if I should get in for, say, 25 cents.
Uh-oh, trouble.
That a deal?
Well, we're pretty bad businessmen, Dad, so we'll accept your offer.
Well, I'm glad. And I want to compliment you on starting this fan club for Gary. It's very nice. Don't you think it would also be a nice gesture if you started one for your dad, too?
Don't worry. We're going to take care of you, Dad.
Yes. Gary's fan club is bound to get too big, and we'll be very happy to throw the overflow your way.
Throwing my way, huh? I'd make a picture. Well, that's sweet, but fellas, while we're on matters financial, I want to tell you that Gary got paid $25 for appearing on this program. Did you know that? What do you boys think you're worth?
We'd rather not discuss that.
Matters of that sort are handled by our agent, D.L. Crosby.
D.L. Crosby?
Yes, Dixie Lee Crosby.
Mm-hmm. Is your mother your agent?
Yes, and she's good.
You ought to get Mom for your agent instead of Uncle Everett.
You think so, huh?
Sure. That way you might end up with something at the end of the year.
Well. Seems to be a schism developing here in the crowd. You know something? You sold me, though. You boys have something you'd like to sing for the folks tonight? A little ditty you could warble?
Phil's got a number you'd like to do. Kind of a surprise for you.
I thought I might sing a song of yesteryear.
Oh, you did. Yesteryear. Oh, well, why don't you step right up to the mic? I'm taking an awful chance here, but I'll go ahead. Take us back, son. Dennis, you want to make a little announcement here? Yeah, just...
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Philip Crosby will sing Thanks, which is made famous by our agent's husband.
That's a killer.
Give him a little arpeggio.
Oh, thanks for all the lovely delight I found in your embrace.
You're not suffering enough. Suffer a little.
I'm thankful, though I know it's ending all too soon. And thanks for unforgettable nights I never can replace, and memories that linger like a haunting tune. It is better to have loved you, dear, and lost.
You're in pain.
Than never to have loved at all. It is better, for no matter what the cost, I held the world in sway, an emperor for a day. And thank you for taking me on the road to paradise. We lost our way, but still I must convey my thanks.
Great, great. Thanks, Phil. Phil, that was fine. The best imitation of Jerry Colonna I've heard this year. But actually, I think I have a vague idea of what you were driving at. I really do.
That was okay, Dad, but people just don't sing that way anymore.
You're telling me. What do they sing like? What do you got to do?
Today you got to blast a song.
Blast a song? Yeah? What's that? I don't know if I'm blasting. What do you do?
It's got to be a Ghost Riders or Mules or Birds or something.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Deems Taylor. What would you care to illustrate? Give us a little rundown on what you think the current trend is, but get in front of the mic or you'll be in Ashtabula, Ohio.
I think the big thing today is a song like this.
Let me hear
that. My heart knows what the wild goose knows, and I must go where the wild goose goes. Wild goose, brother goose, which is best? A wandering foot or a heart at rest? Let it fly, let it fly, let it fly away.
Thank you, Frankie Lane. You were never in better voice. Listen, you know what you ought to do, though, while you're here? You ought to stand up and try and sing something legitimate. We got an arrangement, a couple of things here for you. What could you do, Phil?
Well, we had a rather ragged rehearsal on Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo.
Dad'll understand that.
What do you mean, the ragged rehearsal or Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo? Well, let's have it, huh? Let's have the song. You get over here, Phil. Get a good dead aim. You can shut out.
Bibbidi-bobbidi-bibbidi-bobbidi-bibbidi-bobbidi-bibbidi-bobbidi-bobbidi-bobbidi-bobbidi-bobbidi. Solagadoola-mishigaboola, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Together and what have you got? Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Solagadoola-mishigaboola, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. It'll do magic, believe it or not. Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Solagadoola means Mishigaboolaroo, but the thingamabob that does the job is Bibbidi-Bobbidi-Boo. Solagadoola, Mishigaboola, Bibbidi-Bobbidi-Boo. Put them together and what have you got? Bibbidi-Bobbidi-Boo.
Oh, Bibbidi.
Oh, Bobbidi.
Oh, Bibbidi.
Oh, Bobbidi.
Salagadoola, Magicaboola, Bibbidi-Bobbidi-Boo.
Oh, Bibbidi.
Put them together, and what have you got? Bibbidi-Bobbidi-Boo.
Oh, Bibbidi.
Salagadoola, Magicaboola, Bibbidi-Bobbidi-Boo.
Oh, Bibbidi.
It'll do magic, believe it or not. Bibbidi-Bobbidi-Boo.
Salagadoola means Mishigaboolaroo, but the thingamabob that does the job is Bibbidi-Bobbidi-Boo.
Bibbidi-Bobbidi-Bibbidi-Bobbidi-Bibbidi-Bobbidi-Boo.
Salagadoola, Mishigaboola, Bibbidi-Bobbidi-Boo. Put them together and what have you got? Bibbidi-Bobbidi-Bibbidi-Bobbidi-Bibbidi-Bobbidi-Bibbidi-Bobbidi-Boo. Bibbidi-Bobbidi-Boo.
Thanks, boys. That was fine. Fine. Take five now while I do a favorite of some years ago. It's being revived quite a bit right now. Mr. P. Lafayette Budkin on the guitar. from New Richmond, Indiana. Oh, that's so pretty. Let's do it again.
Marta, rambling rose of the wildwood, Marta, with your fragrance divine, rosebud of the days of my childhood, watched you bloom in the wildwood. And I hoped you'd be mine. Marta, now your eyes beam at twilight, sparkling like each dewdrop at dawn. Marta, when I look for your love light, I awake with a sigh, and I find you are gone. Marta, when I look for your love light, I awake with a sigh, and I find you are gone.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Folks, there's a guy called Como, a character named Godfrey, who talked to you about Chesterfields. And, of course, Ken and I, we bat the word about him back and forth every week, as you know. But we're not the only ones who can tell you about them. No, sir. Millions of folks will speak up for Chesterfields, including the top stars of Hollywood. Yes, sir, the Hollywood stars smoke Chesterfields. William Holden, for example. Now, what was it he told us, Kent?
Well, Bing, Bill Holden said, Chesterfields have a wonderful aroma, and they give me a milder smoke, a much milder smoke. And even more than that, they leave a clean, fresh taste in my mouth after smoking.
Smart boy, that Holden. By the way, Ken, what's Bill's latest picture?
It's Paramount picture, titled Dear Wife. Bing, it's all about newlyweds. Stars Bill Holden, Joan Caulfield, Mona Freeman, and Billy DeWolf.
Well, with a combination like that, no wonder folks are saying that Dear Wife is the funniest thing they've seen in years. But getting back to Chesterfields, Ken, what Bill Holden says about them is what millions of folks say about them.
Chesterfields taste better, and they leave a clean, fresh taste after smoking. Yes, friends, everything you want in a cigarette you'll find in a Chesterfield. Always buy Chesterfield, the best cigarette for you to smoke.
Walt Disney's Technicolor picture Cinderella is just packed with good tunes. Here's the ballad.
A dream is a wish your heart makes when you're fast asleep. In dreams you will lose your heartaches. Whatever you wish for, you keep. Have faith in your dreams, and someday a rainbow will come smiling through. No matter how your heart is grieving, if you keep on believing, the dream that you wish will come true. No matter how your heart is grieving, if you keep on believing, the dream that you wish will come true.
Thank you very much. Nice arrangement, John. Well, that about gets it for tonight. But before I leave, I want to tender my profound thanks to Master Dennis, Master Philip Crosby, for hooking it up with their pappy here tonight.
Say, Dad, who's going to be with you next week?
You know something, Dennis? I have absolutely no idea who our guest is. Nobody tells me.
Well, that certainly is a fine way to run a big show like this.
No criticism, please. Just wash up, get your money, and I'll call you. Don't call me. See you next week for Chesterfield, folks. That's the best cigarette for you to smoke.
The Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, was produced and transcribed in San Francisco by Bill Morrow and Myrtle McKenzie. Incidentally, I just got a late flash on our guests for next week, folks. With us will be Mr. Clifton Webb and an old friend of Bing's from the Paul Whiteman days, a very fine singer, Miss Mildred Bailey. Folks, as you all know, this is Red Cross Fund time. The theme for this 1950 campaign is All May Help Through the Red Cross. That means that everyone, through their contribution, may help a neighbor in need. But when your Red Cross uses the word neighbor, it's not just talking about those people next door or down the block, but people across the nation in all walks of life.
Because to the Red Cross, a neighbor is not defined by distances and boundaries, but by the sympathy and understanding of people everywhere. And that's an idea that brings everyone together in a friendly spirit, no matter who they may be. And it's an idea, too, that gives everyone a chance to help. That's right. Giving through the Red Cross means that not just a few of us, or even a great many of us, but everybody can help. So let's all give now through the Red Cross 1950 Fund. The George Burns and Gracie Allen Show follows immediately. John Scott Trotter and the orchestra, the Charioteers. I'm Ken Carpenter, Eugenie Baird, and Bing Crosby.
Here we are again, men. Welcome to the hall. I got to accentuate the positive elim. Minus the negative, latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. You got to spread joy up to the maximum. Bring gloom down to the minimum. Have faith or pandemonium, liable to walk upon the scene. To illustrate my last remark, Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark. What did you do just when everything looked so dark? Man, they said you got to accentuate the positive elim. Mine is the negative, latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. No, do not mess with Mr. In Between. You got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch right on to the affirmative, and don't mess with Mr. In Between. You got to spread that joy right up to the maximum. Bring gloom right down to the minimum. Have faith of pandemonium. Liable to walk upon the sea. To illustrate my last remark, Jonah in the whale. What did they do just when everything looked so dark? Man, they say we better accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative. That's right. Just when everything looked so dark, man, they said you better accentuate the positive, but it's a negative. Latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between.
Do you mean we better accentuate?
with Mr. Queen. No, don't mess with Mr. Between.
With my own little crowd, the usual laugh, not often but loud, and in a world that I knew, I didn't know about you. A merry-go-round, just taking my fun where it could be found. And yet what else could I do? I didn't know about you. Darling, every day in your arms, I know that once in my life I'm living. Had a good time every time I went out. Romance was the thing I fitted about. How could I know about love? I didn't know about you.
Eugenie, and very sweet. I loved it. Artie Shaw rose to fame as a brilliant clarinetist and as an orchestra leader of original and inventive mind when he was still a mere broth of a boy. Sure, Artie, wasn't it yourself whose top recording of a Cole Porter tune made it famous back in 1938? Wasn't it now, Be Gorda and Be Jabers?
No, me bully boy, it was Begin the Begin.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had a tune I used to sing to me landlady at Muldoon's boarding house called Release the Valise. I got confused there. Auntie, I'll always remember the first time I caught your band at the Palladium. I want to tell you the joint was jumping. You really played up a storm that night.
Well, talking jive like thing, did you really get yourself some kicks?
Yes, and pretty high up on the hog, too. You should have seen me limping off the dance floor that night. I already understand you started on a saxophone and you later switched to the clarinet, is that right?
Yeah, when I discovered that so much sound could come out of anything so thin, I was amazed. Know what I mean?
A contemporary crooner gives me the same feeling.
Well, you can control yourself, Bing.
Why?
It doesn't seem to hurt singers to bulge a bit.
Bulge a bit? Well, Artie, I can't help it if I run to muscle. Gee. But let's run on to that smooth arrangement of Gershwin's song, I Was Doing All Right. You and the Gramercy Five are ready there. Knock it. Thank you. Yes, Artie, that's quite a combo you've corralled there. We're going to grab you later for an up-tune, if we may. Our good neighbors to the south have sent us much good song material lately, such songs as Solamente Una Vez. I made a record of it in Spanish a couple of years ago, and it was greeted with national apathy, but when Disney put it in Three Caballeros and Perry Como sang it, it really became a smash hit. Of course, they used English words, those fellas. I didn't think of that. You belong to my heart. Now and forever. And our love had its start. Not long ago. We were gathering stars while a million guitars played our love song. When I said I love you, every beat of my heart said it too. 'Twas a moment like this. Do you remember? And your eyes kiss when they met mine. Now we own all the stars, a million guitars are still playing. Darling, you are the song, and you'll always belong to my heart. Going to sort of get back on the pace now with the ever reliable and the generally sensational Charioteers. What you singing tonight, boys? What you going
to
sing?
I'm beginning to see the light.
Who composed, who contrived this?
The great
Duke. The Duke, he's ready this year. Paying
awful tax, the Duke, on only...
I never had much for moonlit skies.
Oh.
I never winked back at fireside. But now that the stars are in your eyes, I'm beginning to see the light. I never went in for afterglow, a candlelight on the mistletoe. But now when you turn the lamp down low, I'm beginning to see the light.
Used to ramble through the park, shadow boxing in the dark. Then you came and you caused a spark. It's a
full on fire now. I never made love by lantern shine. I never saw rainbows in my wine. But now that your lips are burning mine, I'm beginning to see the light. Thin like moonlit skies. Hated those fireflies. Now that the stars are in your eyes,
I'm beginning to see the light.
Never dug afterglow under the mistletoe. But now when you turn the lamp down low, I'm beginning to see the light. Used to ramble through the park, shadow boxing in the dark. Then you came and caused a spark. It's a full on fire now. I never made love by lanterns. I never saw rainbows in my wine.
But now that your lips are burning mine, I'm beginning to see the light. I'm beginning to see the light.
Thing, man. Really nice. Right in through here while we got things moving. Looks like a good spot for the good Gramercy Five. The master himself, Artie Shaw, and you took advantage of me.
Thank you.
Arturo, fine, and many, many thanks.
Oh, me name is McNamara. I'm the leader of the band. Although we're few in numbers, we're the finest in the land. We play at wakes and weddings and at every fancy ball. And when we play to funerals, we play the marching song. The drums go bang and the cymbals clang and the horns, they blaze away. McCarthy pumps the old bassoon while I the pipes do play. And Hennessy, Tennessee tootles the flute and the music is something grand. A credit to old Ireland is McNamara's band. McCarthy pumps while the doghouse thumps and the clarinets swing and sway. Tennessee, Tennessee doodles the flute and the music is something grand. A credit to old Ireland is McNamara, McNamara,
best man in the land.
My good friend Victor Young, whose orchestra furnishes John Charles Thomas with the elegant musical support on Sundays, and whose arrangements are responsible for much of the beautiful music in Paramount Pictures in general, and the picture called The Great John L. in particular, has written many lovely melodies. The following I consider one of his very best.
Beautiful love, you're all a mystery. Beautiful love, what have you done to me? I was contented till you came along, thrilling my soul with your song. Beautiful love, I've roamed your paradise, searching for love, my dream realized, reaching for heaven, depending on you.
Potpourri of tunes popular only yesterday, we pop back to a Paramount film musical with a provocative title, Double or Nothing. This possibly historic piece
picture was quite a turkey. It laid enough eggs to make an omelet for the whole Russian army. It appeared in the latter days of the turbulent 30s, to wit, the year 1937.
Ah, yes, lucky seven. You know, in that year, Bing, the tobacco industry produced its highest crop on record. Experts said it was the finest in quality, too, without any ifs or ands about it.
And today, we'll take the ifs or the ands, also any buts.
In 1937, deposits of nearly $6 million lay unclaimed at America's state banks. First of our 1937 hits from Double or Nothing is a little name-calling number, which may or not may not be about the one who had the party. It's called Smarty.
Smarty, the one not quite as smart as you. I can teach you a thing or two. Smarty, Smarty. Don't you know you should hold me tight? Can't you tell when you've met the right party? Though you may know every star up above, still you're in need of a lesson in love. You know it all, Smarty. Can't you see if you had a heart, you could learn to be twice as smart. Smarty, Smarty, Smarty. Now get along out of here.
During the 1937 season at Belmont, a horse called Black Looks gave people who bet on him lots of winnings.
People who bet on certain other horses that season gave me plenty of Black Looks. I never knew why.
The New York World's Fair in 37 was constructing a glass house, and the local wags warned those who were to live in it not to throw any stones.
Not to throw any parties, either.
Goofy dances like the Big Apple were the craze in 37, which may have led Johnny Burke and Arthur Johnson, who penned the next tune in our Double or Nothing medley, to compose the melodic plaint, All You Want to Do Is Dance.
The music is playing a song that invites romance, but you, all you want to do is dance, while others are swaying. At least there's a word or a glance, but you, all you want to do is dance. When I hold you like this, who's gonna notice a kiss? I know how your heart would be, but you only care about the rhythm that's in your feet. The music keeps playing a song that invites romance, and I want a chance, but you, all you want to do is dance.
One of 1937's more unusual scientific pronouncements was that of a Viennese professor who said that if men from Mars could come down to Earth, they'd be almost invisible.
One of them's here now. He's singing Coast to Coast.
Really?
All over, yeah.
Time.
Right.
Time for you to be singing our final Double or Nothing ballad, Moon Got in My Eyes.
Favorite song of Skid Henderson, famous pianist down the Air Force.
Out of the darkness, suddenly appeared. You smiled. I was taken by surprise. I guess I should have seen right through you. But the moon got in my eyes. I was so thrilled by the love you volunteered. I gave my heart without a compromise. I guess you don't remember
do you when the moon got in my eyes? I thought a kingdom was inside, that I would have the right to play.
It up for tonight. We open the doors around here same time next week, so catch us, hmm? Good night.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes the star-studded show train. Tonight, the Association of American Railroads presents the romantic Victor Herbert operetta, The Only Girl, starring Gordon McRae and his lovely guest, Dorothy Warren Scholl. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Yes, tonight another great musical success is brought to you by the American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life. And now here is our star, Gordon McRae.
Thank you, Marvin Miller, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. In tonight's performance of The Only Girl, the brilliant new singing star of opera, concert, and radio, Miss Dorothy Warren Scholl, plays the part of the beautiful Ruth Wilson. And I play Alan Kimbrough, a famous librettist who is looking for a composer to collaborate with him in the writing of his new musical comedy. And what do you think happened to him? Well, just listen.
Mr. Kimbrough, do you wish dinner at the usual time?
Yes, Saunders, the usual time.
Will you be dining alone again?
Yes, I'll be dining alone. Any messages?
Well, your friend Mr. Bunkie stopped by a little earlier with a young lady.
A young lady?
Yes, they're getting married on Saturday.
Oh, no, not Bunkie. Well, well, well. Another good man gone wrong.
And Mr. Corksy called. He's getting married, too.
Corksy? What woman harpooned him?
Well, he didn't mention the lady's name, sir.
Well, I know one thing. No woman's going to put a wedding ring through my nose.
Beg pardon, Mr. Kimbrough, but It isn't natural for a young man like you to live alone the way you do. Don't you ever pine for a woman's hand around the house?
No. And I don't pine to have a woman's hand in my pocket either.
Bachelors don't learn a bit of sense from their married friends' experience. They just stick their heads into the noose like a silly sentimental goose. Each one thinks the other man a fool. He's the one exception to the rule. He says, I'll be happy when I'm wed. Later on, he makes it when I'm dead. For when you've got the ball and chain around your ankle and the stony-hearted jailer is your wife, there's no virtue in repentance. You have got to serve your sentence, which is labor hard for life. You've a number and you bet your wife has got it. Any hope of a reprieve is all in vain. Matrimony is the crime for which they've got you doing time, while your ankle wears the ball and chain.
When you wear the ball and chain around your ankle and the stony-hearted jailer is your wife,
there's no virtue in repentance. You have got to serve your sentence, which is labor hard for life. You've a number and you bet your wife has got it. Any hope of a reprieve is all in vain. Matrimony is the crime for which they've got you doing time, while your ankle wears the ball and chain.
No way to avoid it.
Your ankle wears the ball and chain.
You just haven't met the right young lady yet, sir.
Well, I'm not interested in meeting the right young lady, Saunders. What I am interested in meeting is the right composer.
Oh, I almost forgot, sir. Your publisher phoned several times this afternoon.
Did he say anything about finding a composer for me?
No, he said he was looking.
Oh, that's too bad, Saunders. I have the play all written, and I'm completely stymied until I find the right person to do the music.
Oh, I beg pardon, sir, but the composer who wrote the music for your first show is in town.
He's not speaking to me.
Oh. Well, then, there's the one who wrote your last show.
I'm not speaking to him. I don't know what it is, Saunders, but composers are the most unreasonable lot on earth. Oh, listen. They're playing that melody again in the apartment upstairs. Isn't that a beautiful theme, Saunders? I wonder if it's the man's own composition.
It certainly is pretty, sir.
Pretty? Well, it's a gold mine, properly used. Do you know anything about the people upstairs, Saunders?
No, sir.
Well, take a note to them for me, will you? I'll send my compliments and ask if the composer will give me the honor of a few minutes of his time. Come in.
Mr. Kimbrough?
Yes.
I'm Ruth Wilson. You sent this note up?
Oh, you're from upstairs. Your brother isn't at home, then?
No, he's just gone out to give a cello lesson.
Well, sit down, won't you? I'm writing an operetta, and I need...
A composer?
Oh, yes.
How fortunate.
That theme I've heard your brother playing, did you accompany him?
Yes. Would you like to hear the song?
Song? Are there words?
Yes, my father wrote the words long ago. It's called When You're Away.
Well, that's fine. Sing it for me.
Thank you, I'd love to.
Cold and dark. For me, there's still
song. Beautiful. I could use both the words in the music. That is, if your brother's willing.
Oh, he won't mind.
I need some lighter melodies, too. A gavotte, a march, and some waltzes.
Oh, how wonderful. When can we begin?
We?
Why, yes. Well, I don't know how you work exactly, but, well, I'm sure that if I read the book and then you gave me some of the lyrics, I might...
You might? Oh, now, look, there's some misunderstanding. I'm talking about a collaboration with your brother.
Well, why, my brother doesn't write music. He only plays.
Then you wrote?
Yes, it's my composition. Oh, you have no idea what this means to me. I've worked and struggled, but, well, it just seemed like nothing was ever going to happen. And then, suddenly, right out of a clear, black sky, your note.
But I can't collaborate with a woman.
But, oh, you like my music. You said you liked my music.
Oh, to think that a woman had to grab that theme.
Well, why shouldn't I? Are women any less artistic than or emotional than men? And what is music but emotion set down in bars and eighth notes?
It's quite impossible. Collaboration means weeks of constant work together. Disagreements, arguments. You can't have disagreements and arguments with a woman.
You can't?
No. They pout and sulk. That's a woman's whole nature.
You have a very strange conception of women.
Well, I learned about women the hard way, by experience.
Well, I certainly shan't force myself upon you, Mr. Kimbrough. Goodbye.
Now, wait a minute. Don't you walk out of here like that. Women. They'll put you in the wrong every time. Saunders?
Yes, sir.
You got me in a fine kettle of fish just now. Do you know what you did? There. Now, isn't that just like a woman? She's dangling that theme in front of me for spite. Well, it's not going to work. It's...
Bloody...
All right, Saunders. Go get her.
Yes, sir.
You wanted to see me again?
Now, look here. If I can ignore the fact that you're a woman, can you ignore the fact that I'm a man?
Oh, I think I can if I really put my mind to it.
Good. I'll take a chance on it. We'll be like two machines tuned up for speed. I'll turn out words and you'll turn out music. Animated by one powerful belt, ambition. You call me Kim, I'll call you Wilson. What do you say?
It's a bargain.
We both have hit on a wonderful scheme.
You'll realize my fondest dream. I now have
a me that theme. We're practical, for we both hate to sing. Sentimental nature, this would mean we're two machines. According to our compact, we're just two machines and nothing more. You write the book, you write the score. At last we're quite agreed, 'tis fortunate indeed, that we are both so sensible, in fact, just reprehensible. When difference of sex disqualifies our ex, a pair who might collaborate upon a work which might be quick, let's trust that no such dismal fate shall overtake us more. Shake,
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 shake.
Just two machines
and nothing more.
I'll write the book,
I'll write the score.
You'll write the score.
We'll return to the second act of The Only Girl in just a moment. But first, nobody has to tell you how the increase in the cost of living in the last 10 years has affected our daily lives. One thing it has done is to make us all quick to recognize good values in the things and services we buy. And typical of really good value is the price you pay for railroad transportation. For compared with the prices of other things, railroad rates today are not higher, but are relatively lower than they were 10 years ago. Prices generally, and this includes the prices which railroads themselves must pay, went up long before railroad rates did. And they have gone up about twice as much on the average as the prices for which railroads sell their services. So if it were not for the way railroads have held down their operating costs, today's transportation charges would have had to be much higher than they are. One thing which has helped railroads hold down costs is increased traffic volume. For the more railroads have to haul, the cheaper they can haul it. And then there have been the improvements in equipment and methods made possible by research and investment. Such things, for example, as diesel electric locomotives, centralized traffic control, which enables single track to carry almost as much traffic as two, improved metallurgy and design of steel rail, and so on through a long list. Just since the end of the war, railroads have spent more than $4 billion on new equipment and better plant. In these and hundreds of other ways, railroads work to hold down their expenses. To do so requires volume traffic and continued research and investment for still greater efficiency, the benefits of which are passed on to you in the form of better service and rates lower than they would otherwise have to be. That's another reason why it's good business to do business with the railroad. And now here is the second act of The Only Girl, starring Gordon McRae and his guest, Dorothy Warren Show.
Well, now let's see. We've got two waltzes, we've got the gavotte. What we need now is some sort of a march, a war song. Here's to the land we love, or something like that. You know what I mean, don't you?
Something like this?
That's right. They're the easiest songs in the world to write.
The words aren't easy.
Oh, sure they are. I'll show you. We'll write it together. I'll write the first line, you can write the second. And the first one who's stuck for a line has to pay for dinner.
Okay, let's go.
I see the soldier lad go marching to war.
Although he has no idea what it is for.
With flags and banners flying, the enemy defying.
The crowds are crying, hip hooray.
He'll bravely rush into the thick of the fray.
Although he'd rather rush the opposite way.
With victory still his motto.
He fights because he's got to.
When bugle sounds the call to arms. Here's to the land we love, boys, home of the brave and the free.
While our flag is proudly waving up above, boys,
we will never bow the neck nor bend the knee.
There's that we leave behind, boys, faithful and true they stand.
So then here's a health forever to the land we love.
And here's to the land we love.
Here's to the land we love, boys, home of the brave and free.
While our flag is proudly waving up above, boys,
we will never bow the neck nor bend the knee.
The girls that we left behind, boys, faithful and true they stand.
So then here's a health forever to the land we love.
And here's to the love we've had.
There, you see how easy it was? And now what we need is a big second act curtain.
Yes, well, that should be easy.
Are you tired?
Oh, no, nothing like that. Machines don't get tired.
That sounded a little sarcastic to me.
Well, maybe it was.
Wilson, what's the matter with you?
Look, Kim, I've tried to be a machine, but... Well, we both agreed the moment either of us weakened, we'd quit. It's no go, Kim. I just can't take it anymore.
Well, take what?
Well, that cold, indifferent, cynical manner of yours.
Oh, now, Wilson, you can't leave me now. Our work is nearly finished. We've been a big success together. This show's going to be a hit.
Our work, success. That's all you ever think about.
Well, what else is there?
What else? Why, there's love and happiness. And there's self-sacrificing and suffering for those we care for. Those are the big things in life. I don't want to turn out to be an it like you are.
An it? Say, who do you think you are standing there and talking to me like that?
Good night, King.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I've got just the idea for the finale. This quarrel we've just had. Instead of looking for a way to part the lovers, we'll let them part themselves. We'll write a quarrel scene. That's it. They're alone in the wilderness. They're conscious only of the fact that they have reached a crisis in their lives. He tells her she must, for her own sake, as well as for his, carry out their original agreement. And she... Well, don't you see it, Wilson? Wilson. What do you know? She's gone. That's right. She should go. That's what I'll have her do. And he'll stand there, benumbed by silence and wonder. He'll wonder if this is the end, if she's ever coming back to him again. And then in the midst of that silence, he faintly hears her singing the love theme from afar. He listens rapturously. And slowly the curtain falls.
Are you having dinner alone again tonight, sir?
You mean she still hasn't returned, Saunders?
She isn't upstairs, sir, if that's what you mean.
But she left this apartment last night at 6 o'clock. Where could she be? What does her brother say?
He isn't there either.
All right, if she wants to stay away, I can work without her. That'll be all, Saunders.
Yes, sir.
Now, let's see, where was I? Oh, yes, I was working on the lyric of personality. Now, let's see, the girl who's trying out for the lead in the show comes into the manager's office, and she sings...
There's everything in personal appearance. With perseverance and proper press work, you may manage to find many rich and generous adherents who will assist you in many little ways. Real acting is all right, but on the quiet. Why should I try it when I'm a riot playing just myself? Your art will never get you any money. Tis funny, but it's your personality that pays.
There's everything in personal appearance. With perseverance and proper press work, you may manage to find many rich and generous adherents who will assist you in many little ways.
All right, but on the quiet. Why should I try it when I'm a riot playing just myself? Your art will never get you any money. Tis funny, but it's your personality that pays.
Well, I think the lyric's all right. Now Wilson. Saunders! Saunders, listen, she's back!
Yes, sir, I hear.
Well, go up and get her.
Yes, sir.
No, Saunders, wait a minute. Perhaps it would be better if... Yes. I'll go up, Saunders. Ruth!
The name was Wilson last night, wasn't it, Kim?
Where have you been all night?
My brother and I stayed with my aunt. She wasn't feeling well, and... Well, besides, it's none of your business anyhow.
I didn't sleep all night.
That's very unfortunate.
Confound it! You might help me out a little bit.
Help you out? In what way?
I'm trying to say I'm in love with you.
You're what?
I'm trying to say I'm in love with you.
What's this? Your third act curtain?
It is, so far as our love story is concerned. Oh, darling, I'm in love with you. Will you please marry me?
You're really in love with me?
I'll show you if you'll give me half a chance.
In love with me? Well, when on earth did that happen?
I couldn't tell you, honey. It just happened. Somewhere between the first and the third act curtain.
You know something, Kim? That's exactly when I fell in love with you.
Promise me, love, that we ne'er shall part.
pardon, sir.
Yes, what is it, Saunders?
Are you having dinner alone again tonight?
No, Saunders. There'll be two for dinner from now on.
Well, congratulations to both of you. Begging your pardon, Mr. Kimbrough, I told you that's what would happen when you met the right girl.
Well, I've not only met the right girl, Saunders, I've met the only girl. Dorothy Warrenshaw will be back in just a moment. Our thanks also to Eric Snowden for his performance of Saunders in tonight's production. The Only Girl, with book and lyrics by Henry Blossom and music by Victor Herbert, was adapted for radio by Gene Holloway. The Railroad Hour is brought to you each week at this time by the American Railroads. Remember that whenever you ship by rail, your money is working in four different ways. It pays for safe, dependable transportation. It helps ensure better and more economical service in the years ahead. It promotes business for industry and jobs for people in all parts of the country. And it means taxes that help pay for the education of your children and the general public welfare. Yes, for the country and for you, it's good business to do business with the railroads. And now here again is lovely Dorothy Warrenshaw. Our thanks to you, Dorothy, for being with us tonight aboard the show train.
Well, it was a great thrill, Gordon, and I hope I'll be invited back for a return visit very soon.
Well, I'll tell you what. You let us know when you finish doing Tales of Hoffman on television back east, and we'll see what we can be arranged.
I will, thanks. And meanwhile, I'll be listening each Monday night.
Well, we're doing Jerome Kern's wonderful score for Sonny next week, Dorothy, and our guest is a gal with whom I've made many, many records, the charming and very popular Miss Jo Stafford.
Sounds wonderful. I'll be listening. Good night, Gordon.
Good night, Dorothy.
All aboard!
Well, it looks as though we're ready to pull out. And so, until next week, goodbye.
The Only Girl has been presented by special arrangement with the Tams Whitmark Music Library. Gordon McRae will soon be seen in the Warner Brothers Technicolor musical, The Daughter of Rosie O'Grady. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. This is Marvin Miller saying goodbye until next week for the American Railroads. And now keep tuned to your Monday night of music on NBC.
Stay tuned for Eleanor Stieber and Voice of Firestone on NBC.